You are listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth React today. California is famous for its diversity, but the new class of lawmakers in the state legislature, it doesn't necessarily represent the demographics of the constituents. CalMatters reporter Elizabeth Castillo joins us now to explain an interactive tool that lets you sort lawmakers by a number of different things: race, gender, identity, age, some other characteristics. Elizabeth, welcome to Insight.
Awesome. Hi, thanks for having me.
No, you can say awesome.
Yeah, everything's awesome.
Hey, it's Friday.
That's actually
right?
A Lego song.
So, Elizabeth, this is a feature that CalMatters has done for a while. It updates it after each legislative election in California. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. My colleague, Matt Levin, he like led the project for the last session. And so we did want to make sure we updated it again as the new lawmakers were sworn in.
Is it popular? Because I know you can, on the CalMatters site, you can sort of track like what people are clicking on.
Yeah,
sort of
I think a little guy by the name of Gavin Newsom has been kind of, we've been fighting with him this round. But yeah, it's definitely popular. We really love how like user friendly it is. I think you were telling me too how it's so fun to just kind of like click along and really be able to see like, you know, by each factor, like watch the numbers drop down, really.
It's very user friendly. So it's basically a map of California, and there's like a dot for each legislator. And then you just start putting in your information. You know, in my case, a white male, and not a lot dropped off, you know, when I did that. As soon as I put in LGB for lesbian, gay, or bisexual, it went down to one, Scott Wiener in San Francisco. So you really can see how once you start to get into certain demographics, the numbers fall pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I think even for me, you know, I'm in my 20s, so like once I hit the age, like boom. So there's a handful of Latina women lawmakers, but yeah, once you hit the 20s, Sabrina Cervantes was in her 20s when she was sworn in, but so she's moved. So.
so now there's no representation for your specific
right.
demographics. Why focus on the demographics at the legislature?
So I think it's really important to kind of point out that, you know, lawmakers come from your community. They will be representing you in every way. They're representing your voice, right? So if you have someone who doesn't really maybe understand your perspective or your background or your life experiences, that's really going to impact, you know, maybe what bills are going to put forward, like what they're going to say and how they represent their constituents. You know, I spoke to Sheila Kuehl for another story that I'm hoping to do to accompany this project, and she was saying how even at first with women, you know, you have men, you know, trying to make these laws about childcare and all these things that maybe at that time they're unfamiliar with. And you have like no women lawmakers who actually, you know, have their children and know. And so just really making sure that it's representative of different experiences and what a person goes through day to day.
What seems to be the sticking point? Why aren't our representatives as representative of who they are demographically? I know a lot of cities in California have switched to district elections in order to make their city councils more representative of the neighborhoods and that sort of thing. Is it a districting problem? Is it how the lines are drawn?
Well, one big thing we should point out is likely voters. If you think about it, even with Latinos, you know, likely voters represent around 20% of Latinos, and the legislature represents about 20%. But when you go up to actual Californians, those who are over 18 and of voting age, that's a little more to like 35%. But, you know, just because you're 18 doesn't mean you're going to vote. So
it's who's doing the voting.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of like a big thing when likely voters tend to skew more white and older. So that's why our legislature might skew that way.
So let's get into some of what you and your colleagues found with the current legislature. the web article that you have mentions a Jim Bob caucus in the state legislature. Explain for us what that means.
So, yes, the Jim Bob caucus means that there's this large number of, well, a number of lawmakers that are named Jim, James, Robert, Bob. And if you even want to go in further, there are actually more white lawmakers named Jim or James than there are African-American women or Asian-American woman, really there's one, combined. So really thinking about those types of things.
And when you combine the two names together, then you really start to
Then that caucus starts growing. And then, you know, even just men in general, because some of the Jims and James and Bobs, they're people of color. There's James Ramos. He's Native American. But still, all these men and really just seeing how that kind of eclipse maybe, you know, some other factors of our lawmakers.
Was it your job to go into each elected official and figure out their demographics? And how do you do that in some cases? Because
actually, I'm so glad you brought that up. That was actually a big thing for James Ramos. He's Native American. I wrote it down. He's California Indian. But he's from the Kauai tribe and the Serrano tribe. And we actually just had to call their office and to verify, making sure that we properly represent who they are. So,
because if you just went off a surname and just started to speculate.
Right, made some assumptions. Like, that's not entirely right. I think, Assemblyman Ramos is very close to his California Indian heritage. He grew up on a reservation. And so I really think making sure that you get these facts right and aren't just right, making your own assumptions or just, you know, coming up with your own answers.
How big is his Native American caucus?
You know, I actually don't know that.
We'd have to go into the tool and do it, which I should have on the screen next to me right now, and I don't. Yeah. But that would be interesting. Were there any people that were hesitant to let you know how they identify, you know, their sexuality or their ethnicity or those sorts of things?
I think funny enough, age was kind of a weird thing. Uh-huh. I think some people were more hesitant to be like, well, let me double check that I can, you know, give you their birthday or, you know, but, right. But others were like, oh yeah, that's common knowledge. He had a birthday. You know, I think, for one person, he just had a birthday earlier this month. So I think he still stayed in the 30s, but, he was like, oh yeah, well his birthday's coming up earlier this month. So, you know,
I assumed all that information would be so Googleable in terms of birthdays and stuff, but it's not that easy to find.
Well, for some, it is pretty easy to find. But for others, if you think about the newly sworn in lawmakers, there's not, you know, they don't just have a ton of information on Google. And really, you know, verifying, I mean, it's pretty easy to get a number wrong. Maybe like they're born November 2nd versus November 1st or January, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Did you get a chance to talk to any of the Jims or Bobs about being part of the largest caucus?
You know, I have not. No, I think that would be more for my colleague, Matt. But I do think that, right, that's a very interesting thing that we continue to point out. And also, it hasn't changed from last time. Last time, there were a lot of Jims and James, and this time, there's still a lot of Jims and James and Bobs.
So it's just consistent. And is that because there's not that much turnover, or there's new Jims and Bobs coming in?
I think there were a couple of new Jims and Bobs, but yeah, there's definitely some people who stayed there, like Jim Wood. He's still been around. So, yeah.
I encourage people to go to, when they get into work today, or, you know, if you're at home, is there an app? Is it on the app, or is it just on the website?
It's on our website. It's on our homepage. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, pretty Googleable as well. You can just do like Cal Matters, legislature, legislators like you. And it's usually like one of the top things that comes up. And you'll see my colleague's Matt's analysis. And also, quick shout out to John. He was a really big person to make this so interactive and so user friendly.
That's part of your digital team?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's John's last name?
John, it's D'Osborne Agostino, I believe. Uh-huh. Oh, no. Osborne D'Agostino.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Yeah,
sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, I was like, I should write it down.
Right. No, our digital team here at Cap Radio does not get shout outs enough.
And yeah, really... we really wanted to point that out. Both me and Matt were like, John, you're amazing.
Yeah, it's because that's the way things are headed. And so if you could do all the Googling yourself and that sort of thing, but CalMatters has made it very easy to find out if you are represented in the state legislature. And I have to admit, I was a little surprised because I thought that there would be a much larger contingent when I started drilling down on my specific demographics, and they weren't there. So I encourage people to go there and check it out. And if you feel like you are underrepresented, you have some time to get somebody on the ballot, right?
Yeah.
To represent
you.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, wanted to point out as well how there's only one Asian American woman in the legislature. So that's State Senator Ling Ling Chang. So she's a Republican. But, you know, when you think about that one person out of 120 seats, that's kind of stark.
In California, which has such a rich Asian population.
Yeah, definitely.
We're speaking with CalMatters reporter Elizabeth Castillo about the makeup of the California legislature and, well, its lack of diversity. Are California lawmakers a more diverse group than federal politicians coming from California or in as a whole?
Well, I think federally, that's an interesting comparison. I believe her name's Katie Hill. She's actually bisexual. So I think that's kind of interesting that there have been no openly bisexual or transgender lawmakers.
She was just recently elected in Arizona?
No, in California. She's from Southern California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So she's represented at the federal level. So I think it really just depends, you know.
Uh-huh.
There's like...
Is there a tool for that? Like a similar tool?
We haven't done a federal tool, but that's something that we can definitely like consider moving forward. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Giving us ideas.
Does CalMatters have other organizations in other states? Like, is there a Nevada Matters type of thing?
You know, we're actually like total startup. We're just in California right now. We're a nonprofit. And I think that's like another reason why we're really trying to focus on the state legislature, because the mission of our nonprofit is to focus on state policy and politics. But we've obviously looked to other nonprofits across the country to see like what they're doing and how they're, you know, navigating the nonprofit media world.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
CalMatters does such an amazing job. I have to say that on a regular basis, when I'm preparing for Insight or, you know, I'm working on a piece for the newsroom or even before my newscasts on All Things Considered, I always like to dig in a little deeper and make sure there's not something I'm missing. And I'll Google something and I don't know the exact statistics, but I would say half the time there's a CalMatters article right there that's right on point to the information that I need. And so CalMatters, you guys just do amazing work. How many years has CalMatters been operating now?
CalMatters is still pretty new. We're just in like our first few years, really.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something we're just like always growing. I'm actually, full disclosure, a newer hire. So.
Yeah, how did you get involved?
So I started out as an intern last summer through the Dow Jones News Fund, and they kept me on as an intern through the fall, and they actually hired me last month.
Uh-huh. You're from California.
I am from California. I actually grew up in Bakersfield,
mm-hmm.
and I went to school in Chico, so I'm very California.
Yeah, you've been around the state, and you've seen the diversity that is not necessarily reflected at the State House.
Yeah, especially in Bakersfield, you know, there's a pretty large Latino population. I think we mentioned the federal level, a lot of people know Bakersfield now because of Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
But, you know, there's a huge Latino population. That's something that we were seeing, too. More Latino lawmakers were elected even from more inland parts of California that tend to skew a little more conservative. And there actually is a Democrat from Bakersfield as well, when Bakersfield is actually a pretty conservative area, too. So really seeing how the demographics are shifting and changing and what people, you know, are looking for.
And more Latinos went to the poll this election cycle, did they not? Went to the polls, plural?
Yes. I think they are going to the polls more, but it's still important to remember, like, likely voters, and even though they're going to the polls, they might be older. They might not still be as reflective of the Latino population.
Elizabeth, as we consider the makeup of the demographics at the state capitol, what sort of impacts can a politician's demographics have on then the policy decisions that they make? Do we have hard examples of that?
Yeah, I think a perfect example of that would be the LGBT caucus. They've made a lot of progress with the LGBT community. They were working on a domestic partnership bill, you know, over a decade before gay marriage was legalized at the national level. And I think, and also even looking to them for representation, if you look at the caucus, it's comprised of so many different people. And so I think pushing for those different communities is really, really important and really valuable, and making sure that you have a voice, because it would be hard for a straight person to understand everything that maybe an LGBT person would have to go through. So it's really important to have those voices and to have that different representation.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned that there's a filter for LGB, but there's no T on that. Explain that.
Yeah. So actually, Colorado and Virginia both have transgender lawmakers in their state house, in their government. But California has not. We have never had a transgender lawmaker. That's still something that, you know, they're trying to push for. The LGBT caucus has been pushing for like trans rights, but once again, when I spoke to Sheila Kuehl, who was the first openly gay or lesbian person in the state government in the 90s, and she said, you know, you really can't be it's really hard to legislate for this group of people that you don't share their experiences. You know, trans women are often violence happens to trans women all the time, and there might not be enough protections in place for them. So it's really important to see, like, you would need a trans lawmaker to really see, like, what types of protections are needed, what types of laws need to be passed.
California had its first openly gay person elected to a statewide office this year.
Yeah, that's Ricardo Lara. I think the caucus is making a lot of big, they have a lot to celebrate right now. Ricardo Lara broke the glass ceiling for them through that. And also important, Toni Atkins, you know, she was the first openly LGBT person to hold the role of Senate President Pro Tem. So,
Elizabeth, what do you and the people at CalMatters hope people take away when they use this site?
I think really recognizing, you know, I think a lot of the time for California, people are like, oh, California, it's so progressive. But, you know, remembering that, no, California still has its struggles as well. California still, you know, is struggling maybe with diversity, maybe with representing all of the changing voices that the state has. So I really think that people, you know, need to recognize that. And right, hopefully they will go out to the polls and maybe will elect someone that is a lot more like them.
Right. CalMatters reporter Elizabeth Castillo talking about a tool you can use. What's the name of the tool? Legislators Like You.
Yeah.
This tool that you can use to see whether there are people similar or like you making laws at the Capitol in Sacramento. Thanks so much for being on Insight today.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it as well. And we have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight on this Friday right here on Cap Radio, your NPR station.
Guantanamera, Guajira Guantanamera.